your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Tuesday, November 30th, 2021. Your boy Q here on the last day of the month, knocking on the door, December, final month of the year. I mean, I can't believe that 2021 has gone by as fast as it has, but it has. And well, on top of that, the NFL season has gone by very quick. Just wrapped up week number 12 with Monday Night Football, Seattle and the Washington football team. Washington comes away with a victory, and that's their third victory in a row. And the only reason I bring them up is, well, because they're the next team up on the schedule for the Silver and Black, headed to Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. Of course, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the Washington football team, but 12 weeks officially in the books. And well, the AFC West, you still really don't know what to even think about the AFC West. It's December already, and there's still nobody who's a clear-cut favorite. I know it's easy to say Kansas City, but we can wake up next Monday, and I know I mentioned this on Monday's show, but we could wake up next Monday and be talking here on the podcast about a four-way tie in the AFC West, which is insane. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, because I do think that Kansas City is going to beat Denver on Sunday Night Football, but I've thought a lot of things this season, and it hasn't happened. So very excited about how close the race is in the AFC West and the AFC Conference in general, and it's going to make the last, you know, four or five games of the regular season a lot of fun and definitely be must-watch TV. So coming up on today's show, actually, before we even get into what's coming up on today's show, I would like to thank you for making the Locked On Raiders podcast your first listen each and every day. And remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms wherever you find your favorite podcast. I definitely appreciate that. Now, coming up on today's show, segment number three, a lot of calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's the number. Lots of calls, lots of feedback about head coaches, because that was the conversation that we had on Monday, and that all came from the fact that Lincoln Riley was hired as a USC head football coach. So that just made me decide that that was the biggest really story in sports coming off the weekend. So I wanted to bring it into the table as far as, you know, talking about the Raiders and their head coaching search, as I do believe they'll be into a big head coaching search following the season. So a lot of feedback on that, a lot of good thoughts from Raider Nation. So definitely going to bring that to the table coming up in segment number three. Now, segment number two, as I talked about the head coaches on Monday, I did get a question and say, hey, good podcast, great suggestions as far as our head coaching goes, but what about the GM? Is Mike Mayock going to be the guy? Is someone else going to be the guy? What do you think Mark Davis is thinking? What do you think Mark Davis does? And I have no clue. I'll tell you that right now. I have no clue what Mark Davis is thinking or what he'll do, but I'll give my suggestion on what I think the Silver and Black should do as far as the GM goes, and I'll do that in segment number two. Here in segment number one, news and notes of the day, as I always do, so let's go ahead and jump right into it. As I mentioned, the Washington football team, they won on Monday Night Football, and they're winners of three straight. They're still under 500. They have a 5-6 record, but they've knocked off Tampa Bay, they've knocked off the Panthers, and now they've knocked off the Seahawks. Their defense has only allowed 19 points, 21 points, and 15 points in that three-game stretch. But they have allowed 30-plus points throughout the course of the season four times. 43 points week three to Buffalo, 30 points to the Falcons in week four, and they actually won that game 35-30, then 33 points to the Saints week five in a loss, and 31 week six to the Chiefs also in a loss. So basically what I'm looking at when I look at the Washington football team, and again, we'll do a deep dive on the team, if you can score 30-plus points, you have a really good chance of winning that game. The Washington football team has only scored 30-plus points twice this season, so they're not going to be putting up a bunch of points. Of course, they have a new quarterback there in Heineke. He's got a little something-something to him. He's got a little wiggle to him, so he's going to be a dangerous guy. He really has nothing to lose because no one expects him for him to be great, so he's just going to go out there and do whatever he can to, you know, to try to win games, and that's what he's doing. He's giving the Washington football team a little bit of juice, and so of course we'll talk a lot about that throughout the course of the week as we prepare for the game on Sunday. But 30 points has got to be the target for the Silver and Black on Sunday, and just be careful. That Washington football defense, even without Chase Young, is still a very good defense, and they're really being stingy with points allowed. Again, three-game winning streak, 19 points, 21 points, and 15 points they've allowed so far. So just wanted to give an update on the team that's coming to Allegiant Stadium next for the Raiders. I also wanted to give an update on the the injury to Darren Waller. Again, I talked about it on Monday. It's an IT band strain, and I had never heard of that. I'll be the first to tell you, I had never heard of that kind of injury. Didn't know what it was, but apparently people know about it. Apparently it's more common than I thought it was, and multiple listeners of Raider Nation Radio 920 hitting me up and told me about it. But what I thought was even better was Clay Baker from the Morning Tailgate on Raider Nation Radio 920. He actually had Dr. Pendergar, who is a local doctor here in Las Vegas. He actually had him on as a guest on his show on Monday to explain and break down the injury to Darren Waller and what Raider Nation should expect as far as how much time he might miss. Because again, that explanation was never really thrown out there. It just said it's good news for Darren Waller and his knee injury. So here's Dr. Pendergar on the Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker explaining the injury and how much time Darren Waller could possibly miss.
The rehabilitation is going to be a lot of massage, a lot of deep tissue work. The impact is going to create a lot of inflammation. So there's a lot of swelling control that he's going to be working on, a lot of massage work, and then that repetitious flexion and extension, which a bike is perfect for, a bike, a rower, doing some squats and just pushing that fluid out so this tissue will stop being so irritated. I would sure expect him to be back within a few weeks. This is not typically one that lingers long. Maybe not this coming week, but within 2 to 3, I sure hope we'll see him back on the field.
So there was Dr. Pendergar. Again, he's a local doctor here in Las Vegas, and he was just breaking down the Darren Waller injury, letting you know how long he expected him to be out. He's talking about a couple weeks, maybe even 3 weeks. So it doesn't sound like he's going to be a guy that is going to be suiting up on Sunday against the Washington football team. Also, Rich Bisaccia, when he met with the media on Monday, he did give us another update on Darren Waller and said he was week to week, and you'll hear that actually in a matter of seconds. But so it sounds like Darren Waller is going to be a no-go this week against the Washington football team, which will mean that the Raiders will have to find a way to get it done without him. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into some Rich Bisaccia sound bites. And the first one was about not only Darren Waller but Carl Nassib, Trayvon Mullen, you know, just a little bit, like I said, an update as far as the injuries go with the Silver and Black.
Darren Waller right now is week to week. Carl Nassib is also week to week. It's possible that we can get Nick Kwiatkowski back this week. We're hoping so. He had a good weekend working out. And Keyshawn Johnson is still a little bit week to week. We'll see how he does as this week goes on. Trayvon Mullen's kind of moved into the week to week category. Not sure if he'll get active to the 21-day deal this week or not. And that's kind of where we're at this particular point. Did I miss anybody, Vin?
I don't think so. But when you say Darren's week to week, does that include possibly this week?
Yeah, I think, again, it's from talking to Chris, it's kind of it's a week deal. We'll see where he is. I know he improved the first day, which happens a lot of the time. And I think now we're waiting to see how the rest of the week goes.
So there you go. That was the big news. Darren Waller, week to week, you know, sounded like he's not going to play. And look, you don't want to rush him back because you really need him for the home stretch, but you really need him for every game, right? So it's one of those, you know, kind of catch-22s. You know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Don't want him to miss, but you got to have him for the long stretch. So we'll see exactly when Darren Waller returns. Again, it sounds like he survived a major injury, but just got a little bit of a setback. So we'll see how quickly he can return to action with the Raiders. Now, you heard him also talk about Trayvon Mullen. Rich Bisaccia was asked, what does he need to see from Mullen to feel more comfortable about getting him ready to return to action as he's still on IR?
Yeah, I think to part of what Trayvon's looking for as well is I think he wants to be in a position where he feels like he's ready to go. He's not at 70% or 80%, and I think we'd like that from him as well, to come back where he knows he can get out there and compete, play against the really good players that we're getting fixing to face here in the future. And I think that's just kind of getting him comfortable with the workouts that he's doing on the field, getting him comfortable putting his pads back on, going out there and competing in practice, and him looking at us and go, I'm ready to go. I feel like I'm really good. I don't know if he's at that particular stage right now, but I know he's had a really good week, or really good 2 weeks leading up to. We'll see what happens this week.
So there's an update right there on cornerback Trayvon Mullen. He's a guy that I do think that the Raiders need back. Brandon Faison's been really good in his absence, but at the same time, he's been getting exposed a little bit the last couple of weeks. So it'd be nice to get some reinforcements in Trayvon Mullen. Not sure what that really means as far as when he comes back. Is he 80%? Is he 90%? Does he have to be 100% to come back? It kind of sounds like he has to be as close to 100% as possible. I don't think there's any opportunity for him to be 100% until the season's over and he's able to rest up and get healthy, but it would be nice to see number 27 back out there on the field, because the Raiders really could use that reinforcement in the secondary going up against some of the teams that they have coming up again down the stretch of the season. And the final soundbite that comes from Rich Bisaccia in his media session, it was probably about 8 or 9 minutes long on Monday, was a question that I asked about, you know, how do you come with the correct balance when it comes to the Mariota package? You know, everyone wants to see him out there. The media ask about him. Fans ask about him. How come Mariota's not in there more? Well, when he came into the game against Dallas, I think he came in twice. And one time was down. The very first time, he got a one-yard gain. And that was it. And it felt to me at the time, sitting in the press box, that it kind of ruined the rhythm of the drive. And then they settled for a field goal. The second time he came in, now he scored a touchdown. That was great. So how do you pick? How do you choose? When's the right time to bring Mariota in so he doesn't mess up the rhythm of the offense? So that's what I asked Rich Bisaccia, and he kind of answered the question, kind of didn't, but here he is talking about Mariota and, you know, when you choose to use him as a weapon on offense.
Yeah, well, I think the thing you saw Greg do a great job of this week is we had him in there multiple times, and you know, he ends up scoring a touchdown for us because of his athletic ability and what he can do in certain situations, but certainly what we're asking him to do. So hopefully you'll get a chance to without giving too much away, I think he's going to, you know, hopefully be a part of the packages as we go forward. And he practices like he's preparing to play all the time. And the other thing is, it's really hard to take number four out from behind the center as well, especially when he's playing the way he played on Thanksgiving Day.
So there's Rich Bisaccia right there talking about the dynamic of when and where to place Marcus Mariota onto the field and how to get him more involved. It sounded by the answer, without him fully saying it, that they want to get him more involved, more involved, more involved. But at the same time, when Derek Carr is cooking like he was on Thanksgiving, it's really hard to take him off the field and take him from under center. So we'll see how they move forward with it. I will say, like I mentioned earlier, that I felt like the first time they put Mariota on the field, it kind of slowed down and took away from the rhythm of the offense. But I get it. They're trying to get things jump started and trying to really improve in the red zone. So I really can't be mad at that. It's just a hard, you know, decision to make of when and where to do it so you don't mess up that rhythm. Now, my final little nugget that I want to bring to the table for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast has to do with the COVID-19 reserve list. The Raiders placed long snapper Trent Sieg on the COVID-19 reserve list on Monday, and that's bad business, man. The last time that the Raiders had their long snapper out, John Kondo, it was really bad business. I mean, there, man, that long snapper, you don't know how valuable he is until he's not there, right? So Trent Sieg being out on the COVID-19 reserve list, that makes me concerned for Sunday. But the good news is, if he gets two negative tests 24 hours apart, he can come off the list and he can be available to play on Sunday. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that's what happens. But I mentioned it on Monday that the Cowboys have had members of the team currently in the COVID-19 reserve list. That was updated with Mike McCarthy on Monday. They actually have 8 members of the team right now currently on the COVID-19 reserve list. So that's not good with the Raiders just playing them on Thursday there at Jerry's World. So that's something to pay attention to. And while I'm speaking about the Cowboys, defensive tackle Tristan Hill, he got suspended 2 games on Monday for throwing a punch at Raiders guard John Simpson after the game on Thanksgiving. That was insane that he just was so angry by the way Simpson was giving him the business basically throughout the whole course of the game that he went up there and just, you know, sucker punched him basically on Thursday, hit him in the helmet, knocked his helmet off, but then he kind of backed up after that, which was really a sucker move. But hey, there you go. That was Tristan Hill. He's getting suspended 2 games for that, and that suspension will start Thursday night versus Saints, as they are Thursday night football kicking off week 13 of the regular season in 2021. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, what do I think the Raiders will do as far as the GM goes? What decision will Mark Davis make as far as the GM goes coming up in this offseason? Well, we'll talk all about that. We talked about the head coach on Monday. Let's talk about the GM today. So we're going to do that after I tell you about our good friends at Beachbound.com. And in life, we're all bound for different things, right? Sometimes we don't know what it is, but we're still bound for it. Well, with Beachbound.com vacations, you could be bound for adventure, you could be bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for rejuvenation, or you may just be bound for encountering the unexpected. Sometimes that's the best way to go, right? Personally, your boy, I'm at a beach resort. I'm bound to end up at the poolside, not in the pool, but by the poolside, having a nice little taco flight, of course, having a good cold drink in my hand, and I'll be as happy as can be. With Beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you, no matter what you're looking for. What are you bound for? Well, find out today. Hit up Beachbound.com. Again, hit up Beachbound.com and find out exactly what you're bound for. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to talk about the Raiders GM position. Of course, currently is being manned by Mike Mayock, but you never know how that could change. It might change. It might not change. following the season. But there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of speculation about what the Raiders could possibly do. Of course, we talked about the head coaching position in great detail on Monday. So it was only right, as I got hit up on Twitter multiple times about, okay, well, if they're going to do that with the head coaching position, if you think that, what do you think the Raiders should do with the GM position? And I don't think it's simple. I don't think there's any simple answer. But in my world, if I was trying to keep it a little bit simplistic and trying to get through things quick, fast, and in a hurry, especially with the reports that Mark Davis has not really opened up the head coaching search yet, which I think is, it's one thing when it comes to the head coaching search, like really going full throttle after it. I think that there's been conversations already. I really do. I refuse to believe that you're almost in December. The season is over. If you don't make the playoffs by, you know, the 10th day, the 9th day in January, you haven't really started doing any due diligence. I really don't find that believable. You know what I mean? I really don't, because it's going to be so competitive. There's 8 or 9 head coaching jobs every single year in the NFL. Of course, there's college coaching jobs. We've seen a lot of coaching jobs already filled in college, but there's also still openings. So you never know what direction, you know, these teams may go and who they're going to be targeting. So you want to make sure that you're, you know, not left out in the cold and doing like the old days. And if you remember, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Al Davis, how many times did he hire someone close to the Super Bowl or even after the Super Bowl, and then you really don't have too many good options left because everyone's already been swept up? So I think that Mark Davis has already started to do a little bit of due diligence. It's just nothing probably official. So with that being said, what I think that the Raiders should do with the GM position, and I think it only makes sense for this season, is you've got to stick with Mike Mayock. You really got to give him a chance to see what he can do for at least 1 year. And I think that that's what the conversation is when you sit Mike Mayock down and say, look, man, you know, we think that you have the ability to be this guy. We think that you can help lead this team in the right direction. We think you can really put some talent on this roster and not miss on all these draft picks. And I'm not just talking about first round picks. I'm just talking in general. Yeah, the Raiders have hit on some late-round picks. We could point out multiple ones. But, man, I'll tell you, they just don't have the history of hitting in the draft in general. It just is not there. And something that I really respect, and I know multiple people have called into the podcast before and said, I think the Raiders are trying to do like the Patriots. Not really. And look, this is the thing about it. The Patriots don't have the best history when it comes to drafting, but the one thing I can say about the Patriots and what Bill Belichick has done there in New England is they've developed a culture and they've identified what a Patriot looks like, what kind of player they're looking for, regardless of what level of competition they play at, what school they went at, if they had any kind of red flags. They have identified what a Patriot is supposed to look like. So they go out and get guys that fit in with what they do. The Raiders have to find a way to establish what a Raider looks like, who they're going to go target, and who they're going to go get, and then go get them and start hitting on their draft pieces. Because, man, they're not hitting on these picks. They're not doing a good job with them. I mean, there's just no way you can dance it up, you can shape it up, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig at the end of the day. And there's been way too many misses in the draft. And that's not just on Mike Mayock. That's not just on John Gruden. That's just in the draft in general. I mean, man, I can't tell you how far I could go back. Let's go back to where Derek Carr, you know, was drafted in 2014. Khalil Mack, great pick. Carr, great pick. Gabe Jackson, great pick. Justin Ellis, good pick. Those first four picks, really good. Keith McGill, not so much. TJ Carey, whatever. Shelby Harris, whatever. Jonathan Dowling, not so much. 2015, you get Cooper in the first round. Good pick. Mario Edwards Jr., didn't work out. Clive Walford, didn't work out. Feliciano, no longer with the team. Ben Heaney, not very good. Nerion Ball, I mean, you know, it's just like you can go on and on. At 2016, Carl Joseph, first round, didn't work out. Twice it didn't work out with him. Jahad Ward, didn't work out with the Raiders. Shalik Calhoun, I thought he was going to be good, wasn't. Connor Cook, not even in the league. DeAndre Washington, I mean, the list goes on and on. 2017, Gerrion Conley, Obi Melanfonwu, both those guys, misses. Eddie Vanderdoes, miss. David Sharp, miss. Markell Lee, he's there. Shalom Luani, miss. Jalen Ward, miss. Elijah Hood, miss. I mean, there's so many misses. 2018, Colton Miller, hit. 2018 second round pick, PJ Hall, miss. Brandon Parker, work in progress. Arden Key, miss. Nick Nelson, miss. Mo Hurst, miss. Johnny Townsend, miss. I mean, there's so many misses. You just have to establish a culture. And then I can get into 2019, 2020, 2021. You know, you get the idea, right? I mean, I can go through the whole history of the team and their drafts, and it will be a lot more ugly than it'll be good. So my point of this whole conversation here in segment number two of the show is that nobody knows outside of the guys inside the walls of the building what kind of say Mike Mayock had and what kind of say and control John Gruden had. So I just think that it makes most sense, especially since they already have their scouting team. And this is really the biggest part of this scenario. They already have their college scouts out there searching for what they're going to do in the draft coming up following the season, who they're targeting. So you don't want to move on from the GM before the draft. I mean, if the worst case scenario is they'd probably let Mike Mayock and company stay on through the draft, and then when the draft was over, do like other teams have done in the past and let their GM go. But I don't think that that's a good way to conduct business. I think that since John Gruden is gone, and since Mike Mayock right now is currently the guy with the most say in the building as far as player personnel, let him see what he can do this year. Hired him for a reason. I know he was Gruden's guy, but he was a guy that was expected to know a lot of these college players, know what they can do, be the draft guru, and I say that in air quotes, and so let him see what he can do. But just give him a one-year basis. Give him a trial for 1 year. Hey, man, we're not going to give you a 3-4-year deal. This is get it done this year, or you're out and we're looking for someone else. I think that makes the most sense. Let him help in the coaching search, and that doesn't necessarily even mean that the coach will be out after the year if Mayock is out. How many times, I saw this with Carolina. They brought Matt Rhule in. He had a GM that was already in place. They thought that was great the first year. After that, they said, okay, you know what? That GM, we don't like him. We'll get Matt Rhule to get his guys. So maybe you bring in a head coach. You feel like he's got some juice. And then if it doesn't work out with Mayock, hey, everyone goes out as a collective and finds the next GM, somebody that the head coach gets along with, and they can share that dynamic. Not saying they have more power than the GM, but they can share the dynamic and can figure things out together. In my opinion, it makes the most sense in the world not to rock the boat too much. I mean, I think that the Raiders have talent. I think that they have a good opportunity. You can also tie the GM to Derek Carr because his contract is not up through 2022, until 2022. So you can keep Mike Mayock there for one more year. You can keep Derek Carr there for one more year if he wants to still be on the team and move forward like that and maybe start to get a plan in place. Okay, hey, look, going to have to remove the GM and get a new guy? Fine. We'll also get a new quarterback at that time or whatever. You know, I just think it makes more sense instead of rocking the boat, like I said, too much in the offseason following this year. Just let him work it out this year. It makes the most sense to me. Yes, you can go out there and go find another guy, but is he really going to be the guy? You know, is he going to be the guy full term? Then all of a sudden, you know, a new head coach is on the way and most likely a new staff is on the way. And again, like I mentioned on Monday, I know some people said, Q, you don't want to give Gus Bradley the head coaching job. That's a retread. Like you mentioned, look, I'm not saying give Gus Bradley the head coaching job, but I think that because of what he's been able to do with the defense, you have to at least have that conversation with him just out of respect. Just give them that respect. But if you all of a sudden know that you're bringing in a new GM, no matter what, following the season, then you know there's going to be a new head coach, and you know most likely there's going to be a whole new staff. And I just don't think it makes a whole lot of sense for the Raiders to let their defensive coordinator go because he's done wonders. He has worked magic with that Raiders defense. I mean, they have gotten a lot better than they have been in years. And yes, do they still have warts? Absolutely. Can they continue to improve? Absolutely. But he's going in the right direction. He's trending in the right direction. So why shake that up right now? And the one thing I learned from sitting in front of Mike Mayock at the game on Thanksgiving Day there in Dallas, man, that dude is intense and he is into the game and he's into this team. I mean, he's not just one of those GMs that's sitting there in a booth with a hat on and, you know, just creating contacts and being that guy and not really paying attention. I mean, this guy is locked in. He's intense and he's ready to roll. So I think he's a good fit. I really do. I like what he brings to the table for the team. I think. And that's the biggest thing, I think, because we don't know the dynamic between him and Gruden and who was the biggest voice in the room. Of course, we know that Gruden had to rubber stamp everything, but you know, what was the arguments that Mayock was making for his guys? What was the arguments like that Gruden was making? We just don't know. So I believe just to give him a fair shake, you got to give him one more year. Let him bring in a coach. Help bring in a coach. Tell him, I don't care if he endorsed Rich Bisaccia. I don't believe Rich Bisaccia is the guy. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a nice motivating guy. I think players like to play for him, but I think clearly it's been shown over the past month or so that he's really not head coaching material. Really good coach in the league, really good special teams coach, well-respected, don't think he's head coaching material. So I'm rolling with Mike Mayock for 1 year. That's just me. That's my decision if it came down to me. Obviously, it doesn't, but that's what I would suggest if I was a voice in the room. I know that Mark Davis is going to meet with a lot of Raiders alumni, people that carry a lot of weight in the Raiders organization, and hopefully that's what they suggest to do, because I think that would be the best decision moving forward. But hey, I, you know, have been wrong many times, and I'll be wrong many more times. So what's on your mind? What are you thinking? Who do you think that the Raiders should have as the GM in the next season or leading into the next season? Do you think that Mike Mayock should get a one-year shot, or do you think that they should just cut bait and start with someone new? Let me know about it. 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line. And as a matter of fact, those calls and texts are coming up after I tell you about betonline.ag and lots of great sports going on these days, man, from college football to the NFL, college basketball, NBA. It is all going down in a major way, and betonline.ag has got you covered. They're your number one spot for all sports action all season long. Go to the website on your laptop or your mobile device, sign up today, and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. How do you do that? You got to use the promo code Locked On. No matter how much you put into your account, as long as you use that promo code Locked On, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus just like that. Again, basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, it is all right there in front of you at betonline.ag. Take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and it's where the games start. Segment number three, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls, your texts, straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with James calling from Oregon. He's calling to talk about potential head coaches that could be the Raiders' next guy, and has a name in mind that I didn't mention on Monday's show. Here he is, James in Oregon.
Hey, Q, it's James in Oregon. First-time caller. I've listened to you guys, listened to you for a long time, though, since the Black Hole Banner days, but just heard a show about the head coaches, and I kind of think if they keep Carr, I kind of like to take a look at Byron Leftwich. I'm feeling that if we do keep Carr, that'd be kind of a good fit, but I don't know. I'm with you on the retreads, unless some crazy firing happens, like with one of these, you know, offensive or defense, younger defensive-minded head coaches that, get let go. But I think new blood is what we need, like you said, whether it's your college ranks or one of these assistants that's out there. But in my vote, if we keep Carr, I throw a shot at Byron Leftwich. I think he'd be a good fit for us. All right. Talk to you later.
There he goes, James in Oregon. Thank you for that call. And yeah, Byron Leftwich, that'd be a really good guy. He's a guy that my man, Most Known Unknown, actually sent me a text early on Monday and mentioned him because I didn't say anything about him on Monday. And I think that what he's doing, learning from Bruce Arians or under Bruce Arians, is great. Second to none. I mean, Bruce Arians is a sharp, sharp football mind. So I think what he's been doing, kind of grooming Byron Leftwich, is great. The one thing I'll say about him, even though he's young in his coaching career, he's a guy that's going to be on a lot of teams' radar. I mean, he's going to get a lot of attention. He's probably going to turn down some interviews, but definitely think Byron Leftwich is a good name. Thank you, James, for that call. Do appreciate you. Next up, I got a text from Mountain Man Raider. He says, Chris Peterson is head coach, Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator, assistant head coach. That duo could do things together again. Again, that's Mountain Man Raider on the text message. And thank you for that text. I do appreciate you. And I'll tell you right now, Kellen Moore, he's not going anywhere to be anything less than the head coach. And I don't think he's going anywhere anyway. I think he'll be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It could be after this year. It could be after next year. But he's similar to what Jason Garrett was, in my opinion. He was the next head coach in waiting. Jerry Jones has spent a lot of money to keep him there in Dallas. He's definitely not going anywhere. They elevated him to offensive coordinator so fast. When he was just really a guy on the staff, you know, a little quarterback coach. Then he moved up to offensive coordinator really fast. Chris Peterson, I don't know. I like him, but I'm kind of not a big fan of his, and it's really not his fault. I'm just, he kind of left a bad taste in my mouth when he was at Boise State, and you know, the Baylor Bears brought on a guy from Boise, and he had had talks with Art Briles and kind of kept some stuff to himself about the guy, Sam Ukawachu, that he sent to him. Again, it's nothing on him. It's just... It's just the last memory I have of Chris Peterson, and I thought, yeah, that was kind of foul. Don't really like him as a head coach too much. I do know that he's a sharp mind, but I think Chris Peterson and Kellen Moore, like I said, Kellen Moore is not going to happen because he's going to be a next head coach somewhere. He won't be an offensive coordinator, but Chris Peterson is a no for me. But I understand why you were saying, because, again, he does have a sharp football mind. So thank you so much for that text. I appreciate you. Next up, got a call from Raider Izzy. He's calling to talk about the head coaching job and three names that he believes we'll hear a lot of as well. Not necessarily for the Raiders, but for the league in general. Here he is, Raider Izzy.
What up, Q? Raider Izzy. Wanted to chime in on the head coach conversation. I think three other names that you're going to hear about are Kellen Moore from Dallas, Byron Leftwich from Tampa, and Gerard Mayo from New England, too. I think those are three names that you're going to hear brought up. I don't think Kellen Moore's going anywhere. Jerry's going to pay him a boatload to get him to stay, but the names will still come up, I think. But I have a certain mindset when it comes to hiring head coaches that a lot of my friends think is really stupid, but I think I heard it from Joe Marino from the Draft Dudes podcast. He brought up a good point, and he's very against defensive-minded head coaches, and his reason being, if the offensive coordinator is doing their job, you could, over the course of 10 years, have your quarterback go through multiple playbooks. If you have an offensive-minded head coach that's doing his job, your quarterback's going to have the same playbook. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, think about it now. Like, we're talking about the one name you brought up, Joe Brady. Okay, so granted, it's probably a bad example because they're going to have a completely different quarterback next year. But if they did have, you know, a quarterback in, when Joe Brady leaves, you know, it's a different playbook. You know what I mean? And I know it's different because Matt Rhule's the head coach of, so maybe that is a bad example, like I said. But, I don't know. I prefer an offensive-minded guy just so there's stability with the playbook, honestly. And, you know, just something to kind of think about. And, again, a lot of my friends think it's a really stupid theory, but it might be. I just kind of my thought process with it, though. So. But, love the show as always. See you later, bro.
There he goes. That's Raider Izzy. Thank you so much for the call. And I mentioned Kellen Moore, Byron Leftwich, Gerard Mayo, three guys. And Mayo is probably the one guy that I didn't even think of. That's the one that wasn't really on my radar, but you're right. He does have a little bit of juice in the league. There has been conversations around him. Kellen Moore, again, I kind of broke him down in the last text from Mountain Man Raider. And Byron Leftwich, James in Oregon called and talked about him. So, yeah, three guys that are definitely going to be mentioned. I don't know if any of them are going to end up with the Silver and Black. I do think Byron Leftwich would be a home run hire. I think he's just got enough, like I said, a good tutelage from Bruce Arians that's going to take him a long way. As far as the hiring concepts, defensive-minded head coach as opposed to offensive-minded head coaches, look, your theory makes sense. And to me, personally, I don't really care what direction they go as long as they get a guy who's really damn good at what they do. You know what I mean? A guy who can bring what they do as a specialty to the table and immediately makes the team better. I don't care if it's offensively or defensively. If it's offensive-minded, great. That'd be great to really see someone take this offense, this Raiders offense, to the next level. But if it's also a defensive juggernaut and you're going to lose Gus Bradley, then, damn it, your defense better be really stinking good. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, I'm really partial to Gus Bradley and the fact that he has done such good things with this defense. And there's areas that they can still improve, but man, it is night and day compared to what it used to be. So if you're not going to keep Gus Bradley, I hope you bring on someone with a strong defensive background that can really make this defense a whole lot better. Thank you so much for that call, my man. I appreciate you. Next up, and I just got a couple more. How about a text from Rolando Robles? He said, "What's up, Q? It's Rolando Robles from Modesto 209. I got a couple questions. One, how do you feel about a possible Captain Jack Del Rio reunion? As you know, I'm a big fan of his, or possibly Jim Harbaugh. Two, I know it's early, but if we don't re-sign Jacobs, do you think that Raiders go after Murray or DeAndre Washington? Thanks, Q. Hope you have a good one. And Rolando, thank you for the text. I appreciate you. And you like to have a lot of Raiders reunions, right? I don't see Jack Del Rio as being the guy. You know, now if they had held on to him after the season, the 2017 season, instead of hiring John Gruden, then maybe, you know, maybe things would be a little bit different. But I just kind of think that, one, the Raiders are probably sour in his mouth. You know, they probably left a bad taste in his mouth. And two, I don't think that that's a great hire. I don't think that's something that's going to get the fan base fired up with some juice. Jim Harbaugh, now that Michigan beat Ohio State, he's not going anywhere. He's got it better than anybody. Not better than anybody. I mean, Lincoln Riley's got it pretty stinking good at USC. But Jim Harbaugh is right up there on the list. He's got it really good. I don't see him leaving. He was actually a guy that I wanted the Raiders to hire before Michigan hired him. And before the Raiders hired Jack Del Rio, I thought Jim Harbaugh would be a good guy for that job. That's when he was leaving San Francisco. But we all know how that shook out. As far as Murray or DeAndre Washington, I don't think either one of those guys are in the cards for the Raiders. I just don't. I thought Latavius Murray, when he was let go from New Orleans, might have been a good fit to kind of go as a 1-2 three punch with you know, Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs, and Latavius Murray. But he ended up going to Baltimore and got more burn, obviously. So I don't think that the Raiders are going to be signing him. And the good thing about running backs is you can find them. I don't want to, you know, make it sound like the position is not that important, but you can find running backs that can bring the heat. You really can. I don't think Josh Jacobs gets his fifth year option picked up, but I do think he's with the team in 2022, if that makes sense. So thank you so much for that text. I appreciate you. Next up, and we'll close it out with this, got a call from Sucker Free Raider. He's calling in real quick to ask a question about how many wins it would take to consider Rich Bisaccia as the full-time head coach. Here he is, Sucker Free Raider.
Hey, what's up, Q? Sucker Free Raider. Just a real quick question for you. I know we've talked about it before, but how many wins or losses, or how deep into the playoffs would we have to go to give Rich a shot at the head coach position? Or you just done dilly with him? Let me know, man. All right.
There you go, Sucker Free Raider. Thank you for the call, my man. And honestly, I just think that at the end of the season, whenever the season gets wrapped up, I think that's the end of Rich Bisaccia as the head coach. I just don't think that he has the juice that the Raiders need as a head coach. I think, again, he's a good guy. I think he's a good leader of men. I just think that there's too much inexperience with him as far as time management, clock management, you know, timeouts, and, you know, situational football. I just think that there's too many questions that we've really seen highlighted the last 2 or 3 weeks in particular that says that, hey, yeah, this is probably not the right guy. Now, if he makes gets to the playoffs, makes a little bit of a run, I could see him getting an interview. I think he'll probably get an interview anyway, just like I think defensive coordinator Gus Bradley will get a defense interview, but I just don't see him getting the job. You know, an interview, cool. The job, not so much. So pretty much how you said it, is it a done dealy when it comes to Rich Bisaccia? For me, it is. I know for everyone, they don't feel the same way. Some folks think if he makes the playoffs, he's a done deal to get the job. I don't see that. I think that the Raiders really need to get a really good head coach and make it happen. But again, that's just my gut feeling, and I have been wrong before. So thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate you. And as I mentioned, that's going to close it out for today's show. We still got a text from No Town Raider, call from Dave B in the 757, and a text from Mark in Kentucky. We'll get all those on tomorrow's show. We'll continue to move forward. We'll start to turn the page and look to the Washington football team, their next opponent on the schedule for the Silver and Black. Of course, later on in the week, we'll also have the crossover edition, so you'll get a deep dive into that Washington football team, what you expect or what you should expect to see from them as they're at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. Got a lot to bring to the table, more calls and texts, more news and notes, and like I said, a lot to bring to the table throughout the course of the week as the Silver and Black, the Raiders, they're still in the thick of things, 6-5, looking at the playoffs, looking on the outside, looking in, but they're still there. And again, they pick up a victory on Sunday against the Washington football team, and they have a 2-game winning streak. Maybe we can start talking about, well, they need this, that, and the other to secure a playoff spot, but they got to get this win on Sunday before we have that conversation. So thank you so much for the support. Appreciate you again. Thank you for making the Locked On Raiders podcast your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms wherever you find your favorite podcast. So until tomorrow, Raider Nation, it'll be the first of the month. Of course, we'll celebrate it. It's like the hood holiday. We appreciate you. I appreciate you in a major way. Take care of your family. Take care of yourself. Love on your family. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.